Thanks for joining us today at Liberty City Podcast. Liberty City values each person's unique experience with faith, and we hope that this word impacts you today.
Hey everybody, I want to continue the series that Natty started last week called You Shall Know Them by Their Fruit. And today from Galatians 5, 22 and 23, I want to read you the scripture and I want to talk to you a little bit about fruit today. The Bible says in Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, the Bible says, there is no law. If you've got a Bible, turn with me as well to the book of Matthew 11, 28 and 30. It's going to come up on your screen. It's the Message version, and it says this. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Amen. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy on you or ill-fitting, but keep company with me. This is Jesus talking. And you will learn to live freely and lightly. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your, that's a hiccup mid-prayer, for your presence, for your touch. God, we pray that you would be with us, refresh us, speak to us today as we gather as your church. We pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I love the fall season, the leaves falling from the trees, the crunch underfoot, the colors, oh my gosh. Walks through Gatineau Hills, through the park, long walks with the family, the light cascading through the trees, the mulled wine, the pumpkin spice drinks. I have become an out and out believer. What a season it is. The reds and yellows and oranges, some trees look like they're genuinely on fire. It is a truly beautiful season. But it's funny, isn't it? Because when you really think about it, if you take a step back and look at the season, what's happening is things are dying. The trees are getting into survival mode. The leaves are literally falling off dead. And there are 10, 15, 20 sometimes yard waste bags outside people's yards on rubbish collection day. And it's an interesting thing that we love about the season, what really is truly a reflection of death. We love the death of the fall. And it's funny when you think about it, but it's true. But what you need to understand that's happening with the trees in this season is that what they're going through is a process called reverse sapping. Obviously, we understand what sap is in trees. It's the life of the tree. And we won't go into osmosis and photosynthesis and all of that with the semi-permeable membrane. But understand with me today, the basic premise of a tree is it gains life from the nutrients in the soil, from the roots, and it sends sap and life to the tips of the branches so it can fruit and leaf in the right season. But in the fall season, what's happening is the tree is going through what's called a reverse sapping, as it takes all that life and all that sap and sends it down into the roots deep underground so that it can survive the winter. There's this sense like this death of the leaf preserves the life of the tree. John 15 and 1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off, death, every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it will be even more fruitful. He cuts off the branches, death. He prunes, death. Now, I remember having a rose garden. And a botanist came around because the tree was diseased. And she cut the branch to expose the disease. And she kept cutting back, pruning, death, along the branch to find the first part of that branch that didn't experience disease. And when she got to that point, she was like, yep, we've now pruned enough in order for new growth. Pruning really is quite vicious. Reverse sapping leads to death. It is death, but it leads to life, long-term life in the tree. Pruning leads to even more fruitfulness, the Bible says. It understands the tree that the roots are more important than the leaves in this season. The tree wants to be strong and resilient and survive the cold. What might seem like death is actually life. what might seem like a short-term bad decision is actually long-term a brilliant choice. The same can be said for us, that as a Christian, there is life and death in simultaneous fashions in our Christian faith. The flesh has been crucified, the Bible says, it is dead. But at the same time, we are very much alive in Christ. I was talking with a friend whose favorite movie is The Matrix. And so it spurred me on. It compelled me to watch The Matrix after that discussion. And there's this phrase that Morpheus, a character played by Lawrence Fishburne in the film, says. He says, he's talking to Neo, Keanu Reeves, Canadian. He says this, "Do you think that your strength or speed has anything to do with your muscles in this place? Do you think that's air you're breathing?" He's trying to help Neo see that inside the computer program of the Matrix, that it's not about muscle strength or speed that leads to dominance, but about mind power. And I'm not necessarily talking about mind power or computer programs this morning, but that same narrative, that same rhetoric, that same understanding that we must live at a higher level of understanding if we're to have a greater comprehension of our Christian faith, the simultaneous death that leads to life. For the career-driven businessman that's overly ambitious, your flesh has been crucified. To that young man struggling with that porn addiction, your flesh has been crucified. To that young woman with a self-loathing complex, your flesh has been crucified. We no longer have to worry about those things that would hold us back because they have indeed been crucified on the cross. It's agreement with the finished work of Christ. Agreement with the work of Christ in us that is our job on this earth. Galatians 5:25 says this, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, reverse sapping, long-term survival and long-term fruitfulness, let us keep in step with the Spirit. My flesh has been crucified on the cross. My bad decisions, my sin has been forgiven, and I now walk in the Spirit. And the Bible says that my job is to keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step. When I read that, I don't know about you, but straight away I think about dancing. TikTok, blown up globally, huge. Went from 0 to 100 real quick. There's people in our church, in fact, there's a couple that I'm thinking of, I know who you're thinking of, in our church, they will go unnamed, brilliant TikTokers, brilliant. Really, TikTok is to watch and copy choreography, isn't it? And the one member of this marriage that I'm referring to, she picks it up real quick. I know you know who I'm talking about. She picks it up real quick, but the husband takes some time, and the other member takes some time. They'll go nameless. You watch and you copy the choreography. She picks it up. She picks up the step. She keeps in step and has the rhythm. But for him, it takes some time. And I know exactly what it's like to be in a marriage, to take some time to keep in step with my wife. Because Nadia is a better dancer than me. In fact, when we were younger, we used to choreograph dances together or watch music videos on MTV and learn the choreography together. So that when we go to a dance or there's a wedding reception, we would have some moves. And all the time, I'm trying to keep in step with her because she's better than me. Isn't that a picture of our faith? I'm trying to keep in step with the Spirit because he's further along than me. His ways are higher than mine. He's Spirit-led, Spirit to Spirit. That's why I speak in tongues as often as I can to make sure that even though my English language might not have the words to communicate, Spirit to Spirit, like a deer pants for water, the Bible says in the Psalms, I can communicate with God. When I think about my kids and I think about teaching them how to dance, I don't know if you've ever seen this or if you've got kids, if you've done this, but the best way I can teach my kids how to dance is I get their feet and put them on my feet. We hold hands and we dance together, but they are standing on my feet, keeping in step. But doesn't there come a time where it's like, okay, hop off my feet, now let's dance together, keep in step with me, keep in rhythm with me as we do this dance. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new has come. The old is gone, the Bible says. Isn't that amazing to think that our job is to keep in step because the old is gone, friend. We are now operating under a new program, so to speak. But I need to find the step. I need to find this new rhythm. Matthew 11, we read this a moment ago in the message, 28 and 30 says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? That's all of us. Yes, yes, and yes. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Amen. I'll show you how to take a rest, real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace, the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, the unforced rhythms of grace. Have you got that friend or had those relationships where there's chemistry? You know, you walk into a group of people and there's chemistry. You're just connecting. You just got the same interest, same vibe. It's easy. It's unforced. And then that person comes in the group, you know the one. And it's just like, hello. They force themselves on the conversation. You don't listen, don't really ask any questions, just opinion, just dominating. You know, that's fine, that's life. I'm not throwing shade on that person, although they should probably receive their fair share. But it's the difference between what's unforced and what's a little forced. Forced rhythm. But the Bible says that we are to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That those beautiful friendships that when you're around them, you don't need to talk. You don't need to try and add value. You just exist. The Bible says that Jesus gives us a huge key here. It says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy on you. And then it says this, keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I don't know about you, but I really want to live freely and lightly. I want to travel light in this life. Travel without baggage, without regret, without hurt, without offense. I want to be someone that people love to be around. And Jesus says, if you want to live like that, keep company with me. Keep company with me. Keep company with me. Companionship, intimacy, relationship, proximity. Keep company with me. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Another translation says, I will come in and dine with them. I've never traveled to the Middle East. I've never been to the place where in the context of what was written, the people reading it would understand exactly what this means. I was born in New Zealand. I now live in Canada. And the way that we do dining and relationships is different than the Near East during this time. And during this time, the best way that I can figure out what this passage meant was growing up, there was this Turkish restaurant. And at the back of the restaurant, they had like an authentic Turkish dining experience. No chairs, low table, cushions, and you would sit, no cutlery, and you would eat. And this intimacy and the texture of relationship was so clear to me in that time. And every time I read the scripture, I think about that. Jesus saying, behold, I knock. I stand at the door. He's a gentleman. He's not kicking the door in. He's standing at the door. He's knocking. And if you hear my voice, open the door, and I'll come in and we'll dine. In other words, we will sit. We will enjoy relationship. That's how it's supposed to work. That to live freely and lightly is just to engage regularly in an intimate and deep companionship with Jesus. Do you know those married couples that end up looking alike? You know the ones? Or those dog owners that end up looking like their dog? You know the ones? Like the idiosyncrasies that they pick up and they share, because it's like that. When you hang around people, you pick up speaking styles and you pick up little idiosyncrasies and body language. You know, like, I do that. You get around someone, you start talking like them. And this is exactly what God is looking for from us. To be more like Jesus, the best way we can become more like him is to spend time with him. Psalm 92 verse 12 says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Amen. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Amen. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. This passage says that we will flourish, we will grow, we will bear fruit in old age, we will stay fresh and green. That's what God says will happen if we stay planted. He asks us to stay planted in his house and we will flourish and grow in old age. We will bear fruit even when we're old. We will stay fresh. I want to stay fresh and green. And Jesus says, the psalmist writes, that we just need to be planted. If you're taking notes, I've got a few thoughts on fruit today. The first thing is this, is that you can't force fruit. You can't force it. You can't force fruit to grow. I said this last Sunday, but you know, I don't know any trees by name. I don't really talk to trees. But I think if I did talk to a tree, if I said, hey, tree beard, how are you? And he's like, oh, bararum, I'm good. You know, and I was like, hey man, crazy. How do you bear fruit? I don't think the tree's gonna say, oh, I just forced the fruit and it comes out. I think the tree's gonna say, oh, I just go about being a tree and through the process of gathering those nutrients and feeding them out, the fruit comes naturally. I know a farmer who farms, I think he has 10,000 square meters in the greenbelt, like out towards like the Walkley Road turnoff. And he runs a farm, Ottawa Farm Fresh, great fruit and veggies, outstanding. And I don't see him go out to the plants and force them to grow. I don't see him talk to the basil or the arugula, the carrots, the cabbage, the lettuces, and the mesclun, and just say, you know, come on, man, grow. Like, come on, let's go. We got lettuce to sell. Come on, spinach. He's not out there. He's not encouraging the spinach to force growth. The farmer prepares the environment, then lets the plants do their thing. I had a bonsai tree and I neglected it. And the bonsai tree was looking very sad. And so I gave it, I gave it to my friend Dylan, who was like the most caring plant lover of small, tiny bonsai plants. And so he took it and nursed it back to life. And I was thinking about that bonsai tree. If that bonsai tree is me, because I neglected the tree. If the bonsai tree is me and I'm the Lord, God would never neglect us the way I neglected that tree. I mean, I didn't have it. I had it in like away from natural light. And plants don't need much. Really, if you think about it. Natural light and water for osmosis and photosynthesis to take place. Oh, we're in science class now. Botany, Matt Damon, the Martian. He won't neglect us. But here's the thing. We can neglect ourselves. Because the bonsai tree does not have legs to walk, but we do. We are a living sacrifice. We can walk away from God's designed environments that produce fruit in our life. So our job is to keep in step and keep company with Jesus, keep in step with the Spirit, so that we can be fruitful, not force it. Christians who try and force fruit, like forcing patience, forcing righteousness, ugly. But we need to be people that are in the right spaces, in the right proximity to the Lord, walking intimately with Him on a daily basis so we can bear fruit. The bonsai tree's role is to be planted and receive the right care. Our job is to be planted in community, receive His care, and at the right time, we will produce fruit. You cannot force fruit. If you're taking notes, write this down. The Bible compares fruit with behavior. The Bible compares fruit with behavior. This is interesting. Fruit and behavior. Let's have a look at this. Galatians 5:19, come up on your screen, says this. The acts of the flesh, it says the acts of the flesh are obvious. The acts, the behavior, the actions of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. These are some nasty things. Sending a clear message. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, and the like. Envy, drunkenness, orgies. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, this is the key. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, and it goes on. Just watch the comparison here. The acts of the flesh are, list of bad things, but the fruit of the Spirit is list of good things. Acts, fruit. Behavior, fruit. Wouldn't it make more sense for the Bible to compare behavior with behavior? The behavior of the flesh is this, but the behavior of the Spirit is this. Things you do in the flesh is this, but things you do in the Spirit is this. That makes sense to me, but it doesn't say that. It says the things you do in the flesh, bad, just bad, a list of bad things. But the fruit, the naturally occurring fruit of the Spirit is a list of good things through proximity and relationship with Jesus Christ. It would be like if I said to you this, hey man, so good to have you. over at my house. And so over here we have gossip, you know, disunity, selfishness, sexual misconduct, and the stuff that is bad, so bad. I highly recommend you don't do these things, list of bad things. And over here we have apples and oranges, bananas, pineapples and mangoes. Thanks, man. It's good catching up. You'd be like, bro, what? Like, you can't compare apples and behavior. You compare apples to apples. What do you mean? Here's gossip, disunity, selfishness, and here's apples. But that is exactly what the Bible is doing. So here's a list of bad things, and here's the fruit of the Spirit. Here's like stuff that you do if the flesh leads you. But here's the stuff that happens if you keep in step with the Spirit. Bad actions on one hand and fruit on the other. The Bible encourages good behavior. Don't get me wrong. It encourages us to love thy neighbor. That's tough. Feed the poor, preach the gospel, disciple people. But when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, Jesus doesn't make it that simple. He says that there are bad behaviors on one side and fruit on the other, which comes from relationship, surrender, community, and allowing Him to fill you up and allowing Him to be the centerpiece of your life. Fruit is the product of an intimate relationship with God produced in us by the Holy Spirit. Fruit is the product of an intimate relationship with God produced in us by the Holy Spirit. If you're taking notes, write this down. When life squeezes you, it's just a fruit test. When life squeezes you, it's just a fruit test. Have you, are you a fruit toucher at the grocery store? You know, the supermarket, at Loblaws, Metro, Farm Boy, are you a fruit toucher? Like, come on. Like COVID, like don't touch the fruit. But sometimes I can't help myself. Avocados, have to know. Got to make sure it's a little firm, soft, but not too. Like the eye test is good, but you know, like you see people, especially like pre-pandemic, grabbing apples, squeezing those bad boys, oranges, mandarins, trying to figure out the quality through the touch test, the squeeze test, the prod test, the grab test, to see the quality of the fruit. Life does the same thing to us. Hugo at the moment is going through a toothpaste revolution. So he has this amazing bubblegum flavored strawberry colored toothpaste with glitter in it that he shares with Joby. Well, doesn't it? It's not, it looks like it shines. And he's just been pumping that. But then now he's graduated from what he calls spicy, too spicy, mint flavored toothpaste into this greeny stuff that we have that I think is kind of like, I don't know, some kind of organic stuff that Nadia bought. Loves it. But it's upstairs. But we brush our teeth downstairs. He gets ready for school and got to go upstairs. And like every day, like he's into it. But here's the thing about toothpaste that I've come to learn. When you squeeze a toothpaste tube, toothpaste comes out. Right? Powerful. When you and I get squeezed in life, what comes out? When you squeeze and test the fruit at the supermarket, you are testing for the quality of the fruit. And the other day, I had an experience at home where, like, I raised my voice. And I never raised my voice. And took me 2 or 3 days to get over it. You know, no one got hurt, no one got abused. I raised my voice. And uncharacteristic. And I don't think it's becoming of a father, man of God. Like, I'm not trying to draw massive lines between, the Bible says, don't sin in your anger. So the Bible doesn't necessarily say that anger is the sin, but sinning in the anger. But I try and stay as far away from anger and rage as I possibly can, because clearly the Bible gives us a picture that it leads that way. So for me, raising the voice is a litmus paper test of what's wrong on the inside. Because a moment squeezed me and something came out. Stress came out. Volume came out. When you get squeezed in life, it shows you what's inside. Gethsemane is called the place of pressing. Which means that when Jesus was in Gethsemane, he was being squeezed by life to make decisions of surrender unto the Lord. That's what happens when you get squeezed in life. There are 86,400 seconds in the day. We said this, a few weeks back. Use some of those today to check your connection to the vine. Because as you get squeezed, you want to make sure that what comes out is that fruit. Full Pringle says that the life of the olive is in the pressing. The life of the olive is in the pressing. Because the only way you get olive oil is by pressing the olive. You and me, the only way you get that oil from our lives is when life squeezes us. When life squeezes you, it's just a fruit test. Pray that we abide in Him. Pray that we are connected to the vine, that we bear fruit because of who we're connected to, not because of what we do. What you do is not the fruit. Who you connected are bears that fruit. Let me pray for us today. Father, we love you, Jesus. We are so grateful, God, for the fruit that you are building in our life. God, we ask that you move, that you touch us, that you would impact our lives, we pray, that we would bear fruit in the right season. We're praying this for our whole faith community, whether at home or meeting physically today, whatever that might be, that you would touch us today, we pray. Let us bear fruit and have proximity and relationship to you, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you're watching online, you heard about it from a friend, you've been coming for a few weeks, whatever that might be. In fact, someone joined our church like 3 weeks ago, and in that time has brought 9 of her friends and family. Amazing. And maybe you're one of those friends and family, you're watching, trying to get a vibe of where the church is at, what's happening here at Liberty City. And can I just encourage you that if you don't know Jesus, then it's maybe hard for you to comprehend what it is to be connected to Him without relationship with Him. How can I bear fruit in my life, Levi, spiritual fruit, if I have not yet activated spiritually a relationship with God? Well, that's what I want to talk to you about right now. That's what I want to give you the opportunity to do right now. God loves you so much. He's alive. He's real. He sent His Son to die on a cross to pay the price for your sin, simply so that you could then have relationship with Him and be connected, that He grafted us into the vine. And our strength and patience, kindness, righteousness doesn't come from us. It comes from being connected to Jesus. So if you're here today and you're saying, yeah, man, that's me. I need Him. I'm not in relationship with Him. I'd like to be. Then I would love to encourage you today. I would love to give you the chance today to make a decision to follow Christ today and accept Him in your life. And so if that's you, you're saying, I don't know Jesus. I'm distant from Him. Then on the count of three, I'm going to pray. And I'll get you not to lift your hand, but there's a button you can press there on the screen down in the chat section. It says, I am making a decision to follow Christ. And if that's you, then I would encourage you to press that on the count of three. So would you close your eyes just for privacy's sake? I'll count to three. You press the button. We'll pray the prayer. Okay, close your eyes, every single person. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, press that button right now. We'll pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you. I need you in my life. I ask you, forgive me of my sin, and I thank you that you do. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
We are so glad you joined us today at Liberty City Podcast. Please check us out on social media and find an event to connect with us.